said that this, they could see some interview of me on YouTube. I told them, I don't remember. Yes, there were an interview, you are talking about the technique, about this one. It was your podcast on YouTube that was seen by my patients.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Rhinoplasty Podcast with me, Dr. Cameron McIntosh. We're in season 4 already, and I have a great honor of being able to interview one of my mentors and inspirations, and a man who has had an influence reverberating around the world in terms of rhinoplasty, and that's Yves Sabat. Yves, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Cam, it's a great pleasure for me, and the honor is also mine, because having you like a good friend, sharing good time and talking about the proficiency, but also the your history is also very interesting, because you're a great guy. So I'm here because of you as well.
Yeah, thank you. So Yves, this year, 2024, there are two big things I'm very excited about. In just a few weeks' time, we're going to be in Nice at the preservation meeting. If any of the listeners haven't been there yet, guys, you're seriously missing out. So I have to make a pitch for that. And obviously, the other exciting thing is the World Rhinoplasty Day that we are organizing for November.
It will be wonderful, wonderful. Very, very important, because regarding Nice, we will talk about Nice and World Rhinoplasty Day. That is a big event. So regarding Nice, I think now it becomes like a classic. I mean, of the rhinoplasty courses over the world, and we could get so many participants from more than 47 countries coming in Nice. So that's, I know you are much bigger, because with your rhinoplasty day you have much more. But anyway, it's pretty good already.
No, it's amazing. But remember, I mean, the World Rhinoplasty is a 24-hour webinar, and we now, because we're working together, we're going to make it into a rhinoplasty week, where we'll have live surgery and lectures and stuff. But the beautiful thing about Nice is that it's so focused on preservation. Whereas World Rhinoplasty, we're dealing with continents from around the world, we're dealing with all sorts of different people, and it's, which is great in itself.
Yeah, because it is very complementary. I mean, because rhinoplasty is not limited to preservation. So preservation is a small part of rhinoplasty, but that needs to be understood and done properly to give good results.
Yeah.
But it's true that the World Rhinoplasty Day is worldwide, you're talking about all the techniques, all the procedures, new things, all things that are working. So it's good. I think both of them are very important meetings.
Yeah.
And the webinar is great, really. Today is amazing. I don't know how you can resist, because you are sportman, that probably.
So before we get into any more topics, last question I had is that last year, you and the family came to have a look at Port Elizabeth, and then you ended up going on a safari. So obviously the safari is the cherry on the cake for World Rhinoplasty Week. But what was that like for you?
Well, when I came to you, it was really great, because we could make first meet with our colleagues, second to make this surgery course that was also very, I think, interesting, because we could show together different cases. They were your patients, we operated them together, and so completely different cases, and you could show the advantages of the preservation technique in primary rhinoplasties. Then we could go to the anatomy lab to teach the technique to our colleagues, so it was great. I think it's a very big part, and I consider it in a way that it is part of my duty, because I launched this kind of technique many, many years ago, and we have already done a podcast about that. But now people need to understand and to know, and they need to perform by themselves. Before performing in surgery, they need to go into the lab, at least to feel how it works in practice.
Yeah.
And now about the safari. Safari was, for me, it was an amazing experience, amazing. It's not only amazing, but also, I would like to say, a unique experience, because we could not, impossible to see these kind of things in whatever other country. So we could see what is for us the symbol of South Africa, you know, the Big Five, but not only the Big Five. For our colleagues who do not know what is the Big Five, it are giraffe, rhinoceros, elephants, hippopotams,
yeah, yeah.
lions, and we have seen also so many others. It was amazing. And what was good is that they were completely—they were wild animals, but they are not fed by the guards, and they are not even. And the guards are protecting them against people who want to take their the horn or whatever. Yeah. So really, so they are like not friends because it's not wild animals, but we could really feel very close to them. Very close to the lions, very close to the giraffe, to the buffaloes. It was amazing. And it was Chamorro, but I think if we, our colleagues will go there because don't miss this amazing safari. The meeting will be great, but safari is, as you said, the cherry on the cake because it was really fantastic.
So Yves, I want to change track a little bit. I have this kind of idea in my head that when kids play a game where they put dominoes and you touch the domino and it makes the dominoes fall, when almost 10 years ago when it really started a little revolution, your domino of pushing and pushing and pushing so many years for preservation rhinoplasty, especially like high strip, it's made such a wide effect in that you, like Valeria with SPQR and Carlos and them with like the middle area of the septum. And it's amazing how all of that has spread out. Now, when I was with Barış and Goxel last week in Istanbul, we were discussing the structure preservation meeting, which is later this year in May. And one of the things they've asked me to do is to lead like a webinar on the basics of structural and preservation rhinoplasty. So the question that I'm asking you is, for the listeners, because there are a lot more people who are now interested in preservation, what would be for you the important things for the beginner kind of guys, the concepts to understand about preservation rhinoplasty?
Well, this is interesting because we could have called that the reverse rhinoplasty in a way.
Yeah.
Because traditional rhinoplasty are like removing the dorsum.
Yeah.
While preservation is try to fully protect the dorsum, so it's completely the opposite. If we compare the nose to a tower, the traditional rhinoplasty are cutting the tip of the tower, so you have no more tower. You have something without tip, yeah. Like you don't have any more roof on the house, and so you have to rebuild a new house or a new tower. In the preservation. And I think our colleagues know that, but better to repeat that because it is the concept is easy, but for when you are practicing that, it's not easy. And the concept of preservation is to cut the feet of the tower, and then the tower will go down by itself.
Yes.
But what is saving us in this lowering of the roof of the top of the tip of the tower is on top. Is that we have in the middle, we have this nasal septum. The nasal septum is the key of the stability. It is really saving it for the surgeon from any side effect or adverse effect coming from too much lowering of the dorsum. So we cannot have a sudden nose. If we are doing this technique properly, just by removing the feet, and then it will be very easy.
Yeah.
So, and we have to explain that. But there are many different techniques. We are talking about the high strip, that is really very safe. I think that for the beginners, it is probably the easiest and the safest technique. Yes. But for the other techniques are more advanced.
Yes.
And then better to start with an easy one. So choosing the good patient for that is critical. Not to be disappointed, mm-hmm. because if you start and you have not a good result, then you will say it's like a bullshit and it's not good.
Yeah,
it's not because so we have to do this properly, and that's why the anatomy lab is also important because we need to understand the concept and we need to do this by ourselves under the direction of a more experienced surgeon. But this is the key. So just to summarize. Traditional rhinoplasty, you cut the top and you have to rebuild the house.
Yes.
Preservation, you cut the feet and so the house is immediately smaller, yes. Lower, but you don't need to touch the roof sometimes because the roof is nice and straight, no need to touch. Why should we remove, just for making the nose smaller, why should we remove the roof? because we learned this technique and we don't know how to do it differently. Instead of just lowering the roof, and then you have still the very natural roof, and everything is going well. So we are avoiding at least half of the complications of the traditional rhinoplasties doing the preservation technique.
Okay. Two more questions around this is, in terms of revision in preservation rhinoplasty, what are some of the things that you've seen and how have you kind of overcome those? And what are your words of caution in terms of the people who are operating? Because I was also with Tio last week and it was very interesting. And he was saying to me that you actually told him on the phone that, Tio, you must just tap harder. Do those osteotomies better. Don't come and visit me. You can do it. It was very amusing to hear him say that.
Yes. The question is
about revision.
Revisions. Let's say that even if we have, this is, I think there are less revisions with the preservation. But let's say that the revision rate is the same than with the other techniques. What is really game changing is that with at least with the high strip, but also with the low strip, is that you are keeping the natural anatomy. So when you are making a revision, you are facing a normal nose. And so you just do whatever you want, because you can or repeat a high strip, or you can just rasp a small herb, or just improve the osteotomy by manipulating the bones. With CV, we did a very important work that we worked hundreds of hours on this work to compare the results according to the techniques.
Yes.
and the revisions, and we could see that the duration of the revisions after primary preservation rhinoplasty was 23 minutes. 23 minutes. When we are making a revision after primary structural rhinoplasty, it takes 3 to 5 hours.
Yeah, wow.
So it's amazing. So revision is, let's say, even if we had the same rate of revisions, revisions are very easy. Because even the undermining is already done. So you just have to make the incision, the undermining is done. And then you are facing a normal nose, just so you can do whatever you want. It works very well.
So now another thing that I've started to change my mind in is where people have said, don't do preservation before you know how to fix it with structural rhinoplasty. And I'm starting to change my mind to think, why must you first learn structural rhinoplasty and then do preservation? Surely you don't have to. I don't know. It's just for me, I'm starting to think, I don't know if I agree with that.
Yes. The question is mostly educational. How to teach the rhinoplasty to our colleagues and how to start. Because if you are already experienced in structure or Joseph technique, so you don't need to learn this anymore. So you need just to add this preservation to your armamentarium. But on the opposite, if you are just a beginner, to which technique start? Which technique to start? We could start with the preservation. The high strip, from my opinion, is very easy, but you cannot operate all the patients with this technique.
Yes.
Because there are good patients for that and not appropriate patients for this technique. So if you want really to operate, let's say, most of your patients, so you should be able to perform, maybe it's not structure, but you should be able to perform, let's say, traditional like Joseph technique, basically, that is not that much difficult, but you are already removing the hump. So I would like to say that start with, you can do Joseph technique in all cases, almost all cases, even if in straight noses and night or some lines, we should do it preservation. But anyway, you can just remember, I want our colleagues to understand that you cannot do all the rhinoplasties with preservation. We have to choose.
No, absolutely understand that. So last question that I have, the Nice meeting is coming up now. Is that aimed mostly at guys who are quite advanced, or would somebody who is kind of at the start of their career benefit from coming and being able to watch live surgeries and listen to guys give talks, or is it at quite an advanced level?
No, it's not an advanced technique. It's thank you very much for this question. Yes, this year we are making in Nice the new generation. So to show to our colleagues that really this new generation started 6-7 years ago at the beginning when they learned that it was existing technique. And most of them are already very experienced and very happy. So they could learn directly. I mean, to answer your question, could we start, and if you see a beginner coming to you like and who wants to learn the preservation, it's possible to start with the preservation, but we have to teach them the good way to perform the technique. And so then up to them to do. I see many fellows and many colleagues coming to learn, even last year of specialization in plastic, general plastic, or in facial plastic, and all of them know how to do that after having a stay with me for a while. And this is the same for my colleagues who are teaching that. So I think it's not that much difficult. But the teaching is not only teaching the technique. I mean, when you are teaching, for example, if you have fellows, I want my fellows stay during all the, when I'm visiting the patients, because I want them to see patient selection, the behavior of the surgeon regarding the patient expectations, and so they see how we perform the simulation, how we explain to the patients, and then after the surgery, how we remove the cast, how to deal with the patient, and going a little bit further, they see also the happy and unhappy patients. And so they learn how to deal with the dissatisfied patients. That is also part of our exercise or practice. And this is critical. That's why I'm insisting on this. And generally less than 1 month is not possible. So you need to see many patients, and you need to see also what I'm talking about, I mean, selection, managing the patients. Not only surgical technique.
No, and I think we live in a world that wants these instant results, but this takes a long, long time to be able to master this. You know, I mean, you've been beating this drum for generations now almost, and it's coming to fruition. So last thing, I'm going to put you on the spot here and ask you if you're allowed to say anything to the listeners. Apparently, there might be a new preservation book that's going to be published. Is that true, or don't you want to make any comment?
No, it's true. It's true. But the good thing is, thanks to evolution, not human evolution, but rhinoplasty evolution, at least in the mind of our colleagues, now we could merge together the preservation, mostly the dorsal preservation, also concept about the tip, and also the structure, because we need to perform structure. And this is a big sense. So we are making all together these two groups, preservation groups and surgery group. They are very big names. I don't know if you want me to talk about who is...
No, it's up to you. You can mention some of them, but I'm quite excited that there's a new book coming out.
Yes, it will be an amazing book. And you have, you have the father of surgery, Dean is working with us, so you will have Dean Toyumi in this book. You have many other already known in preservation. And you talked about Barish, but you have also Goxia. You have Roy Daniel is still with us. Peter will make the anatomy. We have a lot of contributors, very famous and very experienced surgeons. And so we'll try to make it a very nice book and also educational book. Education is critical in our field.
Awesome. Well, guys, there you've had it. You listened from the horse's mouth, eh? What an inspiring man. And Yves, on behalf of the listeners around the world, not just thank you for your time for the podcast, but thank you for how much you have given to the world of rhinoplasty. We are eternally grateful. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Kim. Always great. Thank you so much.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. So guys, come back next week for another episode of season 4 of the Rhinoplasty Podcast. For those of you who are only listening to this on a podcast platform, please try and reach out and get onto YouTube, because on our YouTube channel, we've got some really cool clips where I interview the guests.
that they could see some interview of me on YouTube. I told them, I don't remember. Yes, there were an interview, we were talking about the technique, but this was your podcast on YouTube, which was seen by my patients.